You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, The Mezuzah. Topic, Blood on the Door. The Mezuzah. One thing I've learned this week. A week of internet troubles and downtime. A week of broken telephone connections. More slow internet and garbled conversations. If there is one thing I've learned, it is that I'm not a good follower. This is indeed what I said a while ago. Now, at this moment, it seems that we are up and running again. But then again, that's what I thought for the last 3 weeks. It is very frustrating. This is what happened frequently a number of years ago. Fortunately, now in 2025, we are blessed with high-speed internet. But okay, let's go back to the message and continue. I'm a person who wants to go forward. Go, go, go. Or not go at all. It's all or nothing. I'm a person with an A-type personality and a longing to be on top of the situation. As we have realized, however, sometimes things are just out of our control. Now the question that comes forth from all this is, how much are you in control? How much are you in control of your own life and future? How much do you truly believe that you are doing what you want to do? Or are we maybe more than we think? Controlled. Controlled by external situations. Are we shaped and manipulated into a certain lifestyle? Oh my, are we maybe shaped into a certain mindset? Last month, I had a survey that needed completion for work because we have choices to make. We have choices for our healthcare insurance for 2015, but to make sure you have choices, you first need to take this survey. If you do not take the survey, you will only have one choice. The government agreed upon HMO. An example of having choices, but not really, manipulation. Data collection, for the greater good. Oh yes, and I can go on and on as we saw in the news this week how data collection on credit and debit card purchases now can result in calls from your healthcare provider or hospital on how you need to change your lifestyle to prevent diseases. Three simple questions can give you a stamp. Hey, you are depressed. When you are depressed, you can be a danger to yourself. So, the next question then is, do you own a gun? Are there guns in the house? Do you know anybody who owns a gun? If you understand all of this or not, what is happening? Is that the world ends up knowing more about you than you do yourself. What do you know of yourself? Do you know to whom you belong? Have you given your life to your spouse? Have you given your future and your lives to Yeshua? Do you know who to trust anymore? Those were my questions, and those are still the questions I'm asking you today. Have you fully surrendered your life to Him? Jesus? Yeshua? Have you indeed fully surrendered yourself to Him who is the only constant in your life? The one you can trust, who gives you a future of everlasting life, and who has a room, a house, prepared for you in the new Jerusalem. But here, on earth, here, in this life, do you know who you can trust? What is your future? Where does it lead you? These were questions that the Israelites had too. They are nothing new. Prince Moses? Can we trust him? Is he the deliverer? He killed that Egyptian, and we were punished for it. Why would we trust him? Those plagues, are they some trick, or is YHWH truly working through him? Questions, questions, questions. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1 to 14. King James Version. 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. 3 Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. 4 And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. 5 Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. 6 And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. 7 And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the 2 side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. 8 And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. 9 Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. 10 And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. 11 And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. 12 For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. 13 And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. 14 And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for ever. It is a choice, but are we manipulated into this? Now we need to do all this, and then, oh, how gruesome, blood on the doorpost. Okay, all those plagues do not come out of nothing. And if I stay, I will surely die. The wrath of the Egyptians will surely be on me. And this is how a whole new life, and also a whole new tradition, has started. The Hebrews, the Israelites, walked through that door covered with blood to leave the country towards the land of milk and honey. The angel of death had passed over them, and people were ready to see them leave. Leave, you weird people. As we will see, nothing has changed. The blood of the Lamb, Yeshua Jesus Christ, who is the Word, is still on the doorpost. Whoever wants to leave his own personal Egypt, the place and road of destruction and death, towards the land of Zion, the land of light and life, still needs to go, to move through the door covered in the blood of the Lamb. The blood on the door tells the angel of death that blood has already been spilled in this house. The blood of the sacrificial lamb that has been shed is on the doorpost to prove it. The Hebrew word for doorpost is mezuzah, doorpost, plural mezuzah, doorposts. The etymology is obscure. It has been suggested that it is derived from the Assyrian manzazu, but this is by no means certain. Thus, what we are now calling a mezuzah is really nothing more than a holder, a box or container for something which is affixed to the mezuzah, the doorpost. With that, I truly do not want to degenerate or disrespect the mezuzah, as the box that is affixed to the mezuzah doorpost carries profound meaning. As it is a box that is affixed to the doorpost, why not a nameplate or picture? To answer that, we need to understand that a box or container is not created to stay empty. Thus, a mezuzah box or container is created to hold something. It can be likened to a flag that is folded into a triangle, which is presented to the family of a fallen soldier in the United States Army. This flag is most likely placed in a wooden display box. The flag under which the soldier has served and under which he has been buried has a very special meaning to the family. The box, on the other hand, is just a box, nothing else. However, when the flag is placed into this box, it is the whole box that is treated with respect and reverence, not just the content. You know that when we study the covenants of God, we will see that the Mosaic covenant, that is, the covenant with the Hebrew people under the leadership of Moses, has nothing to do with a promise of faith and reliance. No, it is a word of "you shall" or "else." During 400 years in Egypt, people had strayed away from God. Ahw was not a name known by many, and the gods of Egypt were better known than his name. In the desert, God gave the people his commandments. He gave them those commandments with one clear effect. I would say one single reason. That reason is that they would get truly frustrated and find it impossible to live by. Those 613 commandments are the toughest set of rules ever. You will break a lot of them, period, and with that, you will break the blood covenant. It will result in people again calling out to Hashem, the name of YHWH. It resulted in the people turning away from their idol-focused lives to a God-focused life. God gave the following words to Moses to share with his people, making sure that his words would stay central to their lives, and with that, to their society. We can see the importance of a reminder like this within our own country. The more God has been removed out of our daily lives, the more people move away from him. And as a consequence, people do not know right from wrong, and crime and violence become increasingly prevalent. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 to 21, Amplified Bible. "And if you will diligently heed my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your mind and heart and with your entire being, I will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will give grass in your fields for your cattle, that you may eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, lest your minds and hearts be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And the Lord's anger be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the land will not yield its fruit, and you perish quickly off the good land which the Lord gives you. Therefore you shall lay up these my words in your minds and hearts and in your entire being, and bind them for a sign upon your hands and as forehead bands between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth." God gives the commandment to always have his word on our hearts and minds. Within the belief system we live in, Messianic Charismatic Christianity, we believe in the study of God's word from a dispensational point of view with a pre-millennial mindset. This means that we believe God's word can be studied by dividing it not just into periods of covenants with God, but also within set time periods. Each period, called a dispensation, has a specific type of rule, management, and leadership goal of God. Thus, to be able to study this, we also need to take the Word of God very literally, as this, in my opinion, is the best and clearest way to do these studies. We study these words in the context of the time, culture, social, and religious environments. Understanding the writings of those times will then provide additional insights, and with that, a better understanding of the meaning of the words. Then, as stated in the text, God gives the commandment to always have His Word on our hearts and minds. For the people adhering to the beliefs of Judaism, it means that they are wearing the tzitzit on their clothing. Jewish male believers wear the tefillin, or phylacteries, on their arm and forehead every weekday morning. The tefillin or phylacteries are a reminder to them to always have the Word of God in their sight. With this, the person is surrounded with the Word of God, and also the residence in which they live is marked with His Word. That marker or container which holds the Word of God is called the mezuzah. As written in Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 13 to 21, Amplified Bible, which we just read, and in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Amplified Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Amplified Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the only Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart, and with your entire being, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This text is called the Shema, or Shema, and it starts with the words Shema Yisrael, YHWH Eloheinu, YHWH Echad. It means, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one." As we, as Christians, are the adopted children of Zion, grafted into the tree, the root of Jesse, through Yeshua HaMashiach, this call to worship is as much for us as it is for the Judaic believers. For our Judaic brothers and sisters, this phrase is seen as a commandment to recite. Is it something for us to take into consideration? To remind ourselves that the Lord our God is one, and not one plus our car, or our sport, or our... you fill it in? During my ongoing study on the commandments of God, I came to some interesting conclusions. As many of you know, there is an ongoing battle from the days of Paul concerning the statement of being under the law. In my humble opinion, it means that if you are under the law, you need to fulfill all these commandments to be in the grace of God. Through Jesus Christ, however, we are under grace and not under the law. Does this then mean that we can do away with the Ten Commandments? That we can do away with the law and do whatever we want? No. Some say, we need to adhere to the Ten Commandments. Okay, so then, can we pick and choose in the Bible? No, again, we cannot pick and choose in the Bible. But we do adhere to the Ten Commandments because it is pleasing to the Lord, not because it will save us. We are already saved by grace. Aha! Okay then, if we do it to please the Father, then what about this? To know there is a God, Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. Not to even think that there are other gods besides Him, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. To know that he is one. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. To love him, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. To fear him, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. To sanctify his name, Leviticus chapter 22, verse 32. Not to profane his name, Leviticus chapter 22, verse 32. Not to destroy objects associated with his name, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 4. To listen to the prophet speaking in his name, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Not to try the Lord unduly, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. To emulate his ways, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9. To cleave to those who know him, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. To love other Jewish brothers and sisters, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. To love converts, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19. Not to hate fellow Jewish brothers and sisters, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. To reprove a sinner, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Not to embarrass others, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Not to oppress the weak, Exodus chapter 22, verse 21. Not to speak derogatorily of others, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Not to take revenge, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Not to bear a grudge, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. To learn the Torah and Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. To honor those who teach and know the Bible and Torah, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Not to inquire into idolatry, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 4. Not to follow the whims of your heart or what your eyes see, Numbers chapter 15, verse 39. Not to blaspheme, Exodus chapter 22, verse 27. Now, why is it that these commandments of God should not be followed by a Christian? It pleases the Father to study his word, number 22, doesn't it? It is a good thing not to oppress the weak or not to embarrass others. Don't we know that we make God, our Heavenly Father, grieve when we do these things? Will it lead you to heaven? Number. Will it please God to be obedient to him? Yes. Remember, honor your father and mother, or in other words, honor your elders. Oh yes, this is a good one. You shall not judge. But does God not say to reprove the sinner? See number 16. Providing God's word in a loving word of reproof or correction is not judging. However, God's word might be judging. As said earlier, what we are now calling a mezuzah is really nothing more than a holder, a box, or container for something which is affixed to the mezuzah, the doorpost. But what is its meaning? Taking all that we have learned today, we can say that indeed the mezuzah is a little box which can be found on the doorposts of many traditional Jewish and Messianic and charismatic Christian homes and many not-so-traditional homes. The mezuzah is a small case which holds the scripture mentioned earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9, and Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 to 21. For the Judaic believer, this represents the fulfillment of the commandment to place God's word on the doorpost, between the eyes, and on the forearm, as mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8 to 9. This is under no circumstance a good luck charm, nor does it have any link for the Judaic believer to the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts in Egypt. As read within the previously mentioned scripture, it is a constant reminder of God's presence and God's commandments, mitzvot. On the back of the scrolls containing the words of Deuteronomy, the name of God, Shaddai, is written. This Hebrew word means Almighty. Thus, we know him by the name El Shaddai, God Almighty. The word mezuzah was made to apply not to the doorpost, but to the passages which were affixed to the doorpost in accordance with this injunction. The mezuzah consists of a piece of parchment made from the skin of a clean animal. This parchment contains the previously mentioned passages and is traditionally written in 22 lines. The parchment is rolled up and inserted in a case with a small aperture. Written on the back of the parchment is the word Shaddai, Almighty. Then the parchment is so inserted that the word is visible through the hole in the container we call the mezuzah. As explained earlier, the mezuzah was the doorpost where the blood was applied at the first Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, verse 22 to 23, King James Version. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. As Christians, we see statements of our faith in many of the households of our brothers and sisters. A cross on the wall, a tile with a poem, a painting with a Bible verse, or a plaque with, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," as we can read in the book of Joshua. We are doing really the same thing as many of our Jewish brothers and sisters. A necklace, earrings or rings with a cross, or the ichthus fish. However, throughout the centuries, many of the references to Judaism, or on that same platform, anything Jewish, have been removed from our faith and our daily life. As discussed in detail in our publication titled Power in His Wings. It is though that in the last couple of decades, we are experiencing a return to the roots of our biblical faith, and with that, to our Judaic roots. As Christians, we are, through Jesus Christ, grafted into the branch and made part of the family of God, His holy people, the Jews. We are His adopted children, or as some might even call it, His lost sheep. As Christians, we believe that one day we will all be together with Him in the New Jerusalem. With our brothers and sisters of Jewish descent, it makes the Shema as valid for us as it is for them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Amplified Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We do have the understanding from Christ that the meaning of carrying the Word of God between our eyes means that we need to have it in our hearts. In front of our eyes means to have it readily and always available to us. But what then about our houses? We have a cross in this room and a cross in that room. It is with that then, a matter of fact, that if we want to see the distinction between the home of a believer and a non-believer, we need to enter that house first. As the Israelites placed the blood of the lamb on the doorpost so that the angel of death would be able to distinguish the houses of the believers, and with that, knew to pass these over. Exodus chapter 12, verse 23 to 24. King James Version. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Thus, then the question arises, what has this to do with our doorpost? And if it has something to do with it, what is the blood on our doorpost? No, I'm not advocating that we are going to smear blood on our doorposts. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that causes the angel of death to pass over our house. The blood of Jesus has saved us from eternal death. It makes it the doorway and the only way into the kingdom of God. Without the blood of Christ, there is no salvation. Without the blood of Christ, there is no eternal life, just death. The vertical post of the cross was drenched in blood. The horizontal beam of the cross was drenched in blood. The blood of the sacrificial lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. Those posts are the mezuzot that lead unto the road of eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 25. New International Version, 1984. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The Apostle Peter stated it very clearly and without any doubt or question. Jesus Christ suffered this death for us, and he is our example that we need to follow. As we see the parallel between the Exodus from Egypt, where the people of Israel were led from their lives of death and darkness into the promised land, into a life of light, we can see how Christ's blood on the posts, mezuzot, of the cross brings us as Christians out of our life of darkness and death into an eternal life of light. We do need to step through that door and pass under and through the blood to enter unto the road that leads into the kingdom of God. Both our Jewish and Christian brothers and sisters read in the Word of God that we, as well as our households, need to be dedicated to the Lord. My question, though, is, what is the difference? With our Jewish brothers and sisters, the recognition of a believer's household starts as soon as we see the doorpost. In most Christian households, we need to be inside the house first. We both believe the Word of God in the book of Joshua to be as applicable to us as it was and is to the Jewish people. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1, verse 2, verse 13 to 15, Amplified Bible. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and summoned the elders of Israel and their heads, their judges, and their officers. They presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, your fathers dwelt in olden times, beyond the Euphrates River, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat from vineyards and olive yards you did not plant. Now therefore, reverently, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Emphasis mine. With this, some Christians place a little cross beside the door, or indeed, a mezuzah. With the placement of the mezuzah, it is not only a symbol that is placed on the doorpost, but also, literally, through its content, the Word of God. It is a great reminder of our promise to Christ to be his follower and to live according to his will. Personally, When entering a house with a mezuzah affixed to the doorpost, I will touch it and say to the Lord as a recurring promise, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. I will not tell you what to do or what not to do. This is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. I will, however, share with you what a wonderful opportunity there is to get back to the roots of our faith and restore a part of its history that so many supersessionists have tried to eradicate from our Christian heritage. As with the Talit, as with the Shabbat, as with the candle of observance and the candle of remembrance, the mezuzah is there to remind us of God's love for us and to help us to live a life after Christ's example. In reflecting on the mezuzah, we are invited into a deeper understanding of God's desire to dwell among His people, not only within our homes, but in our hearts. The blood on the doorposts in Egypt was more than a moment in redemptive history. It was a foreshadowing of the Lamb of God, whose blood once for all marks those who trust in Him. The mezuzah becomes a symbol, not of superstition, but of sanctification, an outward sign of an inward covenant. As believers in Messiah Yeshua, we stand at the doorway of spiritual identity. We are called to display our faith, not only through our words and worship, but through the very thresholds of our lives, our homes, our families, our decisions. Just as the Israelites were marked by the blood and led into freedom, we too are called to step through the blood-stained doorway of the cross into the light of God's eternal promise. In a time where identity is blurred, where truth is relativized, and where culture seeks to remove the sacred from the public square, the call of the mezuzah is one of resistance and remembrance. It is a proclamation: "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The doorpost, once marked in the blood, now bears His word. This is not about returning to the law for salvation, but returning to reverence out of love. Not legalism, but loyalty. Not obligation, but obedience born of covenantal joy. In embracing the mezuzah, and more deeply, what it represents, we remember the God who brought us out of bondage, the Savior who bled for our redemption, and the Spirit who now indwells us. May every doorpost be a place of declaration. May our homes shine with the holiness of His presence. And may we, like our forefathers, live lives marked by the Word and covered by the blood. Amen and amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.